Welcome back to this week's episode of Toys on Tat. This week's another incredible episode with Dawn from Donner Don't Care. You will know her work when you see it. She has it all flocked and furred up and ready to go. She's a toy customizer like no other. If you want more Toys on Tap, you can like, follow, rate, review wherever you get podcasts. If you want to follow us on socials, we'd love to have you at Toys on Tap. If you want to jump on that YouTube channel, we do toy unboxings and toy reviews. And if you want to jump on and support the show even more, you can jump on the Patreon, patreon.com/toysontap. We post the nitty-gritty episodes. That's where we put the videos of the interviews. All kinds of stuff goes on there. Now let's jump into this week's episode of Toys on Tap. Awesome. I'm so pumped.
I can see more of my mask.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Is that your whole like studio and everything behind you?
Yes, but it's very tiny. It used to be very large before I moved. So it's floor to ceiling in here right now.
Heck yeah. Did you paint the dinosaurs behind you?
Oh no. That's actually a throw blanket of dinosaurs taking selfies.
How funny. I don't know what that dinosaur is, but that's one of my favorite ones. Yeah. Okay. They're so crazy looking.
Yeah, I got a thing for dinosaurs.
I'm pumped that you're on today. Mainly, like, I saw your stuff with the ETC show, and it was unreal. I've never seen anything that. So it was like, you've got to be on the list. And so I don't know if you've heard an episode of Toys on Tap, but we but I love just interviewing people, especially whose work catches our eye. So I'm really pumped to have you on today.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. I mean, a little nervous, but excited to be here.
No, don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. I'm really good at editing too. So if you're like, I don't want that in there. we usually do a full episode and then I do like 10 to 15 minutes exclusive with the artist that goes on the Patreon. So it'll come out to like an hour and 15. But before we start anything, please introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, what you do.
I am Dawn. In the art world, I am Donner Don't Care. Most of what I do is customs. All socials, you can find me on as Donner Don't Care.
Heck yeah. Your customs are interesting and we're going to get there, but the fact that you're working with toys means that toys had an impact on you as a kid. So walk it back all the way back to your kid. Tell me about growing up. What toys did you have around you? What cartoons you watch and all that stuff?
I mean, well, I was an 80s kid, mm-hmm. So I personally think we had the best toys.
Yeah.
I mean, back then it was more all the girl toys you would expect. Strawberry Shortcake, Cabbage Patch Dolls, Care Bears. Now as a grown-up, I mean, I've got all the MOTU, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, all the stuff I wasn't allowed to have back then.
Yeah.
But, and same thing, all the Saturday morning cartoons. Of course, not one will come to mind right now, but you know.
Yeah. When you, I mean, we're talking those toys. Are you in the same age range of like Polly Pocket, maybe Teddy Ruxpin in that age? Is that there?
Teddy Ruxpin, my sister had one of those. So, yeah.
Okay.
Polly Pocket, I can't even remember when that came out, but I feel like they've been around forever.
Yeah, and it's such a crazy toy, like such a weird toy to have for kids because they're going to lose everything.
Yep.
But
tiny little things to play with.
Yeah. And I think I ate a couple because I was little and my sister was older. And I think I swallowed a couple of the pieces. That's honestly, I didn't grow up in the 80s. I'm 90s kid. And so I only got like the back end of it. You said you have all the toys that you wanted, but you didn't get as a kid. Was it very much like only girl toys for you or only whatever that would have been described then?
Pretty much. The only thing I got away with is I love dinosaurs. So my mother hated it, but I was allowed dinosaurs in a dinosaur room. after much complaining. But other than that, yeah, it was pretty much girls' toys.
Yeah, somehow the dinosaurs.
Barbie, the dream house, all that good stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So the, like, some of the most coveted Barbie pieces. Did you grow up with a Teen Talk Barbie?
No.
Oh, I didn't. I'm always hoping to find someone. So Teen Talk Barbies, they're part of like the Barbie Liberation Organization. And they got their talk boxes switched because they were saying like math is hard and all kinds of stuff.
I remember that. I remember hearing about that. Yeah. But no, I did not have one of those.
Oh, bummer.
No, Barbies weren't that sophisticated when I was in the Barbie era.
Yeah. I did play with my sister's Barbies a little bit. I had, she had some stuff that I remember. It was like before I even knew what it was. It was like a cool Jeep or something that we would cut the seatbelts out of. And, but I do remember some of that stuff. But as, I mean, we all do, at what point do we kind of step away from toys to like, for any number of reasons, when did that happen? You start to get rid of everything and kind of fully go somewhere else.
I mean, I would say average age, about 11, 12 years old.
Yeah.
It just became not as cool to have all that stuff. Now, I have all younger siblings, so it was all still around for a very long time, but it got passed down.
Yeah. Do you have a younger brother?
I do. I have a younger brother and two younger sisters.
So he got all the fun stuff.
Well, he's a lot. Well, not a lot, but he's 7 years younger than me. So okay. I honestly don't know what he was playing with, because at that point he wasn't cool to me.
Yeah.
When he was old enough for toys.
Yeah. He probably had the cool, like, we, I mean, that's X-Men in the 90s and Gargoyles, sure. And all kinds of stuff. And so you move on a little bit from it. But the fact that you mess with art means that there's some kind of art in you early on.
I figured out that I could draw in high school. So it was actually a little later. I forget, we were just messing around one day and I think a study hall or something. And I was trying to draw a Disney. It was a Thumper actually. Mm-hmm. And it came out looking identical to the little picture I was looking at. And I was like, wow, I can do that. So I started drawing a little bit. And then I did a couple of things. I did a mural at a Boys and Girls Club in Philly many, many years ago. I think I was about 19 or 20. And then I kind of got away from it. Yeah. I can't say it was very supported. So I was told, you know, you're not going to make money doing that. So come up with a different life plan. So I stepped away from it for a very long time. I probably, maybe about 5-6 years ago, started drawing again.
Mm-hmm.
Then found out about the custom toy world.
Which is insane. Yeah.
I didn't even know it was a thing.
I think we all come into the custom toy world kind of the same. Like, it's always that first inclination of like, what is this?
I moved to the middle of nowhere in Utah for work. And I became friends with Tim from ATC Toys.
Nice.
And when I met him, he said, I make toys. And I said, what do you mean you make toys? But that's kind of how it started. I was like, oh, this is a whole world.
Yeah. You said that you were drawing at one point and then you skipped a little bit and you're doing murals. That's a big jump.
A friend of mine worked for the Disney store at the time.
Okay.
A high school friend of mine, and they volunteered at the Boys and Girls Club to do like a kind of makeover on the place.
Mm-hmm.
So she asked me to go, and I thought we were just going to be like painting walls, like just painting. And then they had the idea to put a mural in the game room, and she kind of told somebody I knew how to draw a little bit. So I got roped into a mural.
Yeah. That's.
I can't say it was the greatest. I don't even know if it's still there. Couldn't tell you, but.
But hey, it happened. Remember everything about the mural? What was it?
It was just a collaboration of like different games, because it was their game room. So yeah. The whole thing was a giant pool table. And then within the pool table was all kinds of like card games and board games. And
how fun. Yeah,
just and then I couldn't tell you what it looked like, but I remember everything that was in it.
Okay. And then sadly, I mean, having the lack of support seems crazy, but it happens all the time because art, I don't know. Still looked down on, or maybe like, maybe it's gotten better, but people saying that you're never going to make it in art or there's no money in it, which we all now know, not true.
Not true at all. But back then.
Yeah. And so, I mean, tell me about that. Tell me about like what it's like wanting to pursue something like art, but then being told like, this isn't it for you.
I mean, obviously it sucked because I enjoyed doing it, but I tend to be on the more realistic side. And at the time, like I said, it seemed like it really wasn't going to be a thing.
Yeah.
So I kind of just pushed it down and did all the stuff you're supposed to do. Went to college, got a job doing nothing that my degree is for. And just years later, I just decided, I said, I moved to the middle of nowhere. I didn't know a lot of people. The place I work was closed in the winter, so I really had the winters off for the most part. And I was just bored one day and I was like, I still have a sketch pad. Let's see if we can still do this.
Yeah. To just on a whim pull it out, especially after, I don't know, like being told like, this isn't it, to be, that's great. You came back.
I did. And honestly, like I said, I think meeting up with, I give him a lot of credit for where I am, but Tim, it helped a lot. We got to talking toys and like, what toys did you have when you were younger? And then I started rebuying some of those toys off of eBay.
Yeah.
So like I have all the strawberry shortcakes. I have my first, replica of my first lunchbox I had in kindergarten, which was strawberry shortcake. So I kind of got into the toy thing. So the first thing I drew was, he actually made it into a sticker. It was just like a whole bunch of toys from back then. Mm-hmm. Ninja Turtles, a Stormtrooper, Skeletor, a Rubik's Cube. It was just a collaboration of a whole bunch of toys from back then. And it turned out pretty awesome. So we made it into a sticker and it kind of just went from there.
Nice. I love Tim. He like,
everyone loves Tim.
I don't know how I met him. He came on the podcast at one point and I've just been in this like kind of like infatuative state army building with his space squatch and just loving kind of everything about it because it's like, it's such a fun piece. It's such a fun sculpt and now how big it is. And then, so how did you encounter him? Just on a whim, you met him?
Yeah, we were, he was living in the middle of nowhere about an hour from me in Colorado. And yeah, we just became friends quickly. Uh-huh. And we hung out a little bit, did some exploring, went hiking out in Colorado and stuff. I got to watch him make toys.
Oh, you lucky dog.
He's the reason I started painting.
Yeah.
Side note, I have all of those Squatch. Everyone.
You have everyone?
Yes. That's what I'm talking about. Few of the customs. I have all the Moonrock ones.
Nice.
But yeah, no, he was painting up some things from a thrift store one night. Actually, it's still sitting back there. There's a clown. He's like, you should try it. And it was just dry brushing and I was terrible at it.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me mad that I was terrible at it. So I decided to keep on trying.
Yeah.
I started out painting thrift store pieces because for a dollar or two, you can't get mad if you mess it up.
Heck yeah.
And then I sold one to someone. Yeah. At most of my first customs, Tim had, because I didn't think they were good enough to even try to sell. but then I moved on to I was doing his pieces. So I did, I've done a bunch of Buddha tour. I'm trying to think what else of his I've done. And then I moved on to Last Resort Toys. I did quite a bit of his Muckoid and the Lice Plant, the very first two he came out with. I did a whole run of those in Motu characters.
Nice.
And then, yeah, it's kind of just gone from there. My first real piece I think I did was back in beginning of 21. I was watching Booze and Buddies on Friday nights on Instagram Live.
Yeah.
And they had the art challenge. And I didn't even have the nerve to speak up in that little chat at that point. But I was like, I'm going to try this. I have no reason not to. And it was little danger dogs. And I turned them into a Hellraiser. And
they
won the art challenge. So I was like, okay. It's the first time I tried to play around with like clay and really put an effort in.
That's unreal. I mean, to go from this, like, I don't know, like to just start and then immediately win something like that is fun. And then, so does that put your start date somewhere in 2020, 2021 era?
I would say probably mid 2020 when I really started playing around with it. Maybe a little earlier than that, but not much. And then 21 was really, really like kicked off. Like I said, started with the Danger Dogs. I did a skinny, but I had a skinny cap after that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, I kind of went from like 300 followers on Instagram to 1200 followers on Instagram pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Once that happened. Then I stalled and stayed there, but that's fine. Yeah. I mean, I don't care about follower count, but it was just, that's kind of when people started to figure out who I was a little bit.
Yeah. And so you make this, that one with, what does it do for you? So you make that, you win that. Then what's the next thing? Cause now we're past the thrift store customizing. So where are we headed?
We are, like I said, I vowed to myself at that point to do each one of those challenges they had that year.
Mm-hmm.
And I did all but one. I missed the last one. But that just kind of pushed myself because I wasn't exactly in shows or anything like that.
Yeah.
At that point. And I was still just painting and customizing. The thrift store pieces are still, there's a lot of them in boxes here. I bought a ton. So I still play around with those once in a while.
Yeah.
I got a commission piece, my first commission piece that spring, where somebody actually that I didn't know reached out to me asking about one. And it was just a little guy, but that felt pretty good.
Yeah.
And then since then, I haven't been in very many shows. I was in the Banana Skinny Cap show at New York Comic Con, I guess, not last year. Yeah, last year. I was in Cake for Trash Panda Toys this past year. Most of what I've done show-wise has been for, like, charity stuff.
Okay.
Did a piece for autism, a tech piece.
That's awesome. Like, and then once it sells, it all that goes to support. Yeah. That's awesome. So, I wish there was more of that kind of stuff in the toy scene. It's probably out there. I just don't see it as much. But I do like when there's, it's almost like toys for a cause.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so we hashtag really like art for a cause.
Yeah, I do like that a lot. You do something very interesting that I want to kind of pry on. You not only paint and do that customizing, but it seems like you have taken a dive headfirst into alternative covering of these toys. So we got like flocking and then crazy hair. And
the hair I'm pretty excited about because I actually tried, he's sitting over there. I tried 3 years ago to do hair on a piece and I could not figure it out.
Is he reachable? Like, can we see the first one?
Yeah. I can grab him.
Yeah.
He's going to get finished now that I know how to do it.
Heck yeah. Oh, he's great.
He's supposed to have been a Grizzlor.
Okay.
And actually, I think he belongs to Tim. I think I owe this to him from 3 years ago. But the fur he has on him right now is actually like almost a bodysuit. I made a pattern. And that so many tries because he's made out of stone resin. So he's solid. But I don't know how to make patterns. I don't sew.
Yeah.
But I figured that part out. But then when it came to putting the hair on where you couldn't see like the seams and all, I could not get it on his head so you couldn't see seams.
Yeah.
So it's driving me nuts. So he got put to the side until.
So you learned.
Started playing with fur. I have so much fur in this house. I had to figure it out eventually.
Tell me how we got there. Because that's not, I mean, that's like factory type stuff that you're getting into. I mean, flocking, I've seen a couple resin artists do. But how did we even like to go from not really knowing how to paint to painting to immediately like adding stuff? How did we get there? What made you start seeing that stuff?
Well, I mean, I try all kinds of different things, especially when it comes to like customs.
Mm-hmm.
I did an Evil Ghosty Ghost recently. And I mean, I Dremeled him out, turned him into the King Boo from Mario.
Oh, cool.
So His ghost doesn't have, it has a little drawing, you know, line for a mouth. And I mean, I dremeled out the eyes. I dremeled out the mouth, put a teeth in a tongue. I figured out how to make him look like he was floating. Like,
nice.
I come up with the most bizarre idea I can possibly think about. And then I try to figure out how to do it.
Which
it doesn't always work.
Yeah. And then I've seen a couple of yours that you flocked, which again, another tedious thing. And it was that, the battle cat one, right? It's like a little battle cat.
Yeah. I have one here. He's not dropped.
Yeah.
This is the Panther version.
Oh, he's perfect. The chubby cat is such a good vibe.
Fieldy. And then I also, they're not flocked yet, but I have a, he's going to be Cheshire cat.
Oh,
so they have pink little
stripes. That's awesome. Are they all resin?
Yeah, they're all Tim's. I bought them off of him, and then we're going to drop them probably on his glow zone page.
That's so, I mean, once we get past this, I have so many questions for you. Because that, like, the life of a customizer in doing that, that is such a smart way to do toys. Because you still get your art out there, you still create, and you still go nuts with it. But it's based on, like, a different creation. How did you, have you made resin toys or decided to do that kind of stuff?
I have. Okay. I got into resin before Decon, two Decons ago.
Okay.
I made my first toy, and I paid someone to digitally sculpt it because I don't 3D sculpt yet. I mean, I have the program. I haven't dove into that yet. I bought the printer 3 years ago thinking I was going to do something with it. It's still in the box and probably outdated at this point. But yeah, so I paid someone to sculpt it off of my really bad sketch.
Okay.
And then Tim actually resin cast the first bunch for me.
Okay.
So I could do a drop of them. And then after that, I figured if I'm going to keep doing this, I'll probably have to figure out how to resin cast. So he actually taught me. He told me all the equipment to buy and walked me through modifying the pot. And I'm not great at it. I'm not terrible, but I'm not great at it yet.
Yeah.
My miscast pile is bigger than the good pile, but I was able to get a run together for Decon at least that year.
Yeah.
And they went out. They're actually back here too.
Nice. Did you have a booth for Decon, or did you sell at someone else's spot?
What happened? I was on Booze and Buddies booth.
Nice. Nice. Nice.
So yeah, this was my first.
Oh, I have seen these bears. Is this like a version of like Care Bears?
Yeah,
like,
it's a Care Bears Motu mashup.
It's beautiful. Beautifully done.
Thank you. And I would have turned your Beast Bear, but he just fell behind the paint. So he has a little friend, and it's Beast Bear.
Yeah.
Who looks like, if you remember Care Bears, he was the lion one. That's kind of what he's based off of. And then this guy hasn't come out yet, but that's V2. He's sitting down.
Oh, yeah. He's good. He's real good.
So, I've only made 3 casts of him and only one painted. And that was Tim's birthday present. So for getting that made. So he hasn't come out yet, but when I get around to resin casting again, he's next.
What I enjoy about the Care Bear, which, did you grow up with Care Bears?
I did. Okay. All the Care Bears.
As a side note, one of my favorite movies growing up, it was like, so I grew up in the 90s, it was like Land Before Time. And then, there was a Care Bear, Nutcracker movie. That I was like sold on. I don't know what it was. As a kid, I was into it. But my favorite part about that toy is it mixes what you grew up with and what you couldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
I love
that. I thought about that earlier, actually, when I was like, I probably should show my toy. And then it's like, wait, that was kind of the toys I couldn't have. And so it's the toys I could have.
Yeah. And there's something so beautiful about like, oh, I couldn't have it. Well, look, I made it. but I absolutely love that kind of, because that's what makes art so good with toys. And so it's like a piece of you is now in those pieces. So you've released both of those, the Beast one and the other one?
Yes. Okay. I did a run. I was supposed to be making more characters, but too much time passing, you don't realize how fast.
Yeah.
So there were supposed to be 2 more characters after that to start with, but. Yeah, those got released, like I said, 2 years ago.
Okay.
And then that Decon, I did a run of them all painted in the traditional Skelly and then one painted in the anti-Eternia colors, the black and red.
Awesome.
For decon. And then V2, I just got him this past year. And like I said, I only did, he's been interesting trying to get him out of a mold.
So, yeah, because he's that weird shape where you have to kind of like bend around. And
yeah, because I'm trying not to cut it. So I'm trying to get him out in one piece. So yeah, I finally got one mold. I was able to do three of them. I still have the mold so I can pour more, but I just haven't had time lately to do resin.
Yeah.
That squash took a lot of time.
Okay, we're going to get into that for sure. Learning curve for flocking and fur. Tell me about that learning curve.
Flocking, there really wasn't much. Okay. I got very, very lucky there. I watched a couple videos. They're not really easy to find. And
yeah,
finding videos on fur is even harder. But I messed up the first one. I think the first thing I flocked was the Beast Buddha of Tim's. Mm-hmm. We did a run of three of those. And I tried flocking those. And I messed the first one up pretty good. You have to be patient for the flocking because you got to let the glue dry. And yeah. I tend to want to keep going. So
yeah,
you touch it, you mess up the flocking, you start over. But I've kind of got it down now. The only issue I have is like everything right now is covered in purple fiber in here right now because flocking is a mess.
But, yeah. So,
then, yeah, I got it pretty easy on that one.
I mean, not being able to find a video or finding one that like kind of matches is tough because then you're just throwing it around.
Pretty much. Like I said, I played around until I kind of figured it out.
Okay.
And fur, I found one video that was at all helpful because, like I said, I didn't want to put the fur on in patches with the backing. I wanted to individually put the fur on so I could kind of get it in the directions I wanted to go and all that. And I found one video of some woman that makes little animals.
Okay.
Putting on fur, and it's been trial and error.
Yeah,
I have one arm sitting here that I pulled all the fur off the other day.
Oh my gosh,
how it was going.
So tell me, I mean, we've talked a little bit about the flocking. Tell me about Space Squatch, because that is a fur piece like no other. The most amount of fur, and it's so many different colors.
And his little brother here.
Oh my gosh, it's. I mean, a couple questions. When you're doing fur, how are you deciding color, especially for something like that? But then also, like, what does it take to do that? Like, how much time are you spending furring these things up?
Well, I work full time, so
okay,
sometimes more than full time. So I won't say I spent. It took me the entire time we had to do that thing. I think I got it around January, and the show was in April, so.
Ooh.
I finished him up the week before. Yeah. But I did hit a few roadblocks. Like I said, I couldn't figure out the fur at the top half. Like where, I didn't want to cover his whole chest plate, but I didn't want to cut the fur because it would look weird because he's all long haired.
Yeah.
So there was some points where I kind of put him to the side and walked away and then came back.
Yeah.
So yeah, he took me the better part of all those months. But I only do art a couple hours a night and not every night.
Okay. So. I mean, and what's great, like, I wish people understood that don't do like toy art, that a couple hours after you're setting up your paints and doing all that or whatever you're doing, you get like 45 minutes to an hour and then you got to clean it. Like, it's not long.
Empire Blister. Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 2.75 inch or 1/18 scale. 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now functions. Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's COYSOMTAP 10.
Empire Blisters. Empire Blisters.
No. It's not nearly long enough. I wish I could devote more time to it.
Right. But, how, especially with soft vinyl and like that kind of material versus using resin and trying to stick things to it, does that change how you're doing things?
Well, with this guy, so he started off because Tim asked me if I wanted to be in the show, which of course, but I don't airbrush yet. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
And with soft vinyl, I mean, that's kind of the way to go because, mm-hmm. I mean, I've done acrylic paint. I've done flex acrylic paints on vinyl also. But you risk it cracking.
Yeah.
Eventually. Or fading. Or there's a lot of things. So it's not ideal. And for a show, I didn't really want to go that route. So
yeah,
I had made on the V1 swatch, I did the Grizzlor that Tim has, the custom. Mm-hmm. That was my first fur piece that finished and worked. So I kicked around the idea with him of doing fur, but I'm like, everybody else is kind of do crazy paint jobs. So what do I do that's a little crazy also? So yeah, I had a glow blank that I had purchased. And I found somewhere that had UV fur. I did not know that the smallest amount that they sell comes in a box almost as tall as I am when you order every color. So I have fur for life now.
Yeah. Colors. Awesome.
Yeah, I didn't read the description. I just went with the small size and yeah, giant.
Jeez, I would hate to see what the biggest size of that is. Holy hell.
It's so much fur.
Yeah.
So yeah, and as far as color choice, I mean, with that one that sold at the show, that was rainbow stripe. So I went in the order of the rainbow order of the colors and just striped him all the way up.
Yeah.
This one is just mishmash. So he's a little easier because it doesn't matter what color I do next as long as it's not the same.
Gosh, dang it. That's so good. When it comes to this art career, I mean, you're jumping quickly is what it seems like. Like
I'm trying.
Yeah. And it seems looking at like what we've talked about over your life, it's like we jump from drawing a picture of Thumper to doing a mural on a wall. We jumped from like dry brushing a random piece to all of a sudden customizing in a new way. So, I mean, the question has to like come out, like what's next?
I'll be honest. I don't know. I am in the next Space Watch show.
Awesome.
Which I haven't really started that piece yet.
Okay. So it's not soon though, right?
It is June.
It's no way. Yeah. That's so soon.
Or I'm sorry. Maybe. No, it's July. I'm sorry. July 19th.
Okay.
But I have the month of June in my head to basically get it done. That's Space Watch of the Retroverse. So that's 80s, 90s themed.
Awesome.
I would love to show you, but I did paint it, but I haven't started the fur yet.
Yeah.
But we're not allowed to show sneak peeks. So
yeah. Back there. That's awesome.
Other than that, I mean, I got invited to a masquerade show, which is the Jason Masks. Mm-hmm. That's in the fall. I don't have much else on the agenda. I have a custom request for some more fur guys. They're mostly Tim's. Mm-hmm. So I've got about 6 Space Watch on my desk.
Okay. And then for the cats, those ones, do they kind of function? Do you release different ones as like, this is like this version, or do you release almost like blind box status?
No. So we kicked around the idea for the first, which is the Battle Cat.
Yeah.
And they did well. They sold out. He dropped them in the glow zone. So I had asked if he could get me some in some other colors. Mm-hmm. And there were runs of 5. That's all I do. And then not to be repeated. So
I love that so much. I love that.
So I actually, this one is 6 because I didn't keep one for myself for the first one.
Yeah.
So I asked him if he could do purple and pink to do those 2 ideas. And then he kicked me a few miscasts or colors that didn't quite work out that I can kind of do whatever with as far as flocking. But
does flocking knock out the color of the resin behind it if you do it like fully covering?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So what I do with these guys, they are, because I try to keep his glow, so they're a little tedious because I prime the whole thing. I painted them purple first just because it does cover, but I don't want anything underneath this to show through. You can see bits and pieces sometimes, depending how solid your flocking is. And mine's not always the best, but so I paint them the base color first, which if you watch any flocking videos or look at any websites, they send you the paint with the flock.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of people use the paint and then use that to stick the block on. I don't. I use glue. But I scraped out all the stripes on these cats so that it shows through.
I want to talk about that. I was waiting for you to bring that up. On Battle Cat, do you have a Battle Cat?
I don't. I didn't keep one.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so it's green, obviously, with the yellow. But when you if you don't look at a description of it, you just see the green and it looks like cracks through it. But you're telling like you carved that out so it shows.
Yep.
That's insane. Guy right here. Oh, that's insane because it comes out so well.
Yeah, I have to scrape out each stripe. Basically, it comes out easy. Don't get me wrong, but it is still tedious because there's a lot of tiny little stripes on that guy. But that's how I do them. I don't. There probably is an easier way. I don't know what it could be.
Yeah.
Other than hand painting primer on, but I don't like hand primer most of the time. I use spray, so it was just easier that way.
It makes it look like actual fur, which is I'm always enticed by. and I, flocking toys, though they feel like, I know that they're sturdy. They always feel like crazy to hold or something because you don't want to ruin it. We all had that Panthor toy when we were a kid where it was like chipping off because it got played with too much. But I do remember, or I would love to see a toy where it's like popping through. That's a cool addition to that. For Panthor though, in the stripes, what color is it going to glow?
He is, he has a purple resin. Mm. So he glows a little purplish blue.
Okay.
Because Panthor doesn't really have stripes technically. Right. But I kind of wanted to do the counterpart to the Battle Cat. So we did it with solid purple and flocked him in purple. So you can still see his glow. He's a little tough in the light. So I would say I would hit him with the black light, but you won't be able to see it.
That's so good.
The pink one, he glows pretty good. The Cheshire Cat. He's going to be cool. And I figured out how to kind of make a smile on his grumpy face. That will come up under black light.
So when you look at your art career as doing customizing, do you plan at any point to shift towards like toy production? Do you like customizing more? Where do you fit in that? I think every artist has a different place in the art scene and I love hearing those. So where do you find that you fit most or that you want to stay?
I find the most enjoyable is customizing.
Great.
That's where I like to spend my. I like to turn things into other things and see if I can.
Yeah. I hate painting toys, so that's good to know that there's people out there that love it.
Oh, I do enjoy painting still, and like doing the fur, I kind of missed it a little bit because it's all I was doing was fur for a little while there.
Yeah.
And you would think it is. I've got tiny little paint brushes for some of this stuff.
Yeah.
But it is enjoyable to me. So
I
it's my happy place.
Now that I know that you flock, I may want, need a custom.
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this.
Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have an engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet. Oh my, we're doomed.
Wait, salvation. Hooray, we're saved, DOV2. Limited edition custom artist made action figures and DKE toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures.
DKE.
We may be messaging after this.
I haven't found anything I can't block yet.
Okay. I get nervous because there's so many different colors. You know what? I'll even let you choose. There's two different colorways. I'll send you pictures and you can choose which one. That's awesome.
Yeah. The hardest part is getting the right color block. Block is hard to find in non-basic colors because most blocking is used for like jewelry boxes and fake ducks. So
Tell me,
shade of green.
Is it plastic? Like just little grates of plastic that make up blocking?
It's fibers of some sort. So I think some of the ones I have are rayon, nylon.
Okay.
I have found a place in the UK that has like bright colors and neon colors. So I think I'm going to do an order through there.
Okay.
I'd like to expand the range.
I've
been pretty lucky to find most of the colors I need.
Yeah.
But it takes some digging.
Heck yeah.
It's not on Amazon.
No. And the things that you do get on Amazon just aren't great quality. I was making Furbies for a while and I did like just the McDonald's ones, and I did hair down the back. But it's like finding that kind of fur that does what it needs to do is really tough. And I don't know. Amazon just wasn't the move.
Yeah. Even some of the fur I bought is just, it, I wouldn't end up using it. It's crap. Yeah. I don't know what they make it out of, but it's not good quality. Now the UV fur I bought, it's very good quality, I think.
Dang.
Not that I'm a fur expert, but.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And all that.
So with all that, then, if customizing is your, like, where you find you love, you want to stay there, does that kind of knock out, maybe a desire for you to table or to be at a show? I know that you, like, you've been in shows, but do you have a desire to go to shows and table and do that kind of stuff?
I told myself I was going to table something this year.
Okay.
And I applied for CollectiveCon, and I actually got accepted for the Artist Alley, but I decided not to do it this year.
Okay.
I was worried about time with the Squatch and then the other Squatch. I didn't know how much time I was going to have to make much else. Mm-hmm. Because customs do take a while.
Yeah.
Depending on what it is. But, I mean, just between my bears, and that's the only thing I can original toy-wise bring.
Yeah.
Currently. I would like to start on the other two that I keep saying I'm going to do for 2 years now.
Yeah.
But I still don't 3D sculpt, so I have to get back in touch with the guy that did my first two and see if he's got time to do two more.
If he doesn't, let me know. I work with so many different 3D sculptors, so we can just send them all your way. Because they like, have you heard of the team Making a Mutant?
I've heard the name, but I don't know.
Yeah, so they're it's a cool idea, and I love that they do it. But it's 3D sculptors from all over the world that every month sculpt. They all work together to sculpt toys, and they each sculpt a piece of it. Yeah, and so you can kind of have your pick of sculptors out there. It's awesome.
Yeah, I know a few people who sculpt. Yeah. Like, so I haven't done the sketch yet. I started one of them because the next two were supposed to be Merman and Evil Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't say I want to do them all eventually. They're in my head. It's just getting it out on paper.
Dang, that's so awesome.
But yeah, I haven't put forth the effort to really attempt to get them sculpted yet.
Yeah.
Because I know once I do, I'm going to have to do something with
it. and I tabling, I mean, I've never tabled. I running a pot, like I do toys and I make toys, but not enough that makes tabling a thing for me. And then the podcast having a table isn't, it's hard to see it as beneficial. But I can't imagine the amount of work that goes into wanting to do that, because it's so much stuff that you have to produce in such a short amount of time sometimes.
Yes, which is why I only applied for like the smaller booth in Artist Alley, because I figured that's a 6 foot table. And I've seen people go with very little.
Yeah.
Would I make back my money? No. But that wasn't the whole goal behind it anyway. I just kind of wanted the experience of tabling.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't, I moved last year. So resetting up the art room was a whole thing. It's still not where I want it to be.
Yeah.
I'm working in chaos most of the time. So yeah, it just didn't feel like the right time to do that.
Yeah. Well, dang.
But it is a gold table one day.
So awesome. I love that. Where is Collecticon?
Chicago in August. Okay.
Oh, that's the big one out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
It's a new one out there.
Okay.
I think it's new.
Holy
sure it's
moly.
First year.
Does that mean
originally it was gonna be 5 points? Because I've been to that the last 3 years.
Okay.
That was the first show I ever went to 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I had, and then I went to DCon, which was that's an experience.
There's a lot
especially
going on.
Social anxiety.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You can't go there with social things.
I went alone and they opened the doors and I had a full blown panic attack. I forgot everything I was supposed to be finding for people.
Yeah. Yeah. Going there, I love going there because like meeting people, it's like half networking, half hanging out and doing whatever. The harder part is like, so I'm a hyper extrovert, so it's like my social battery is really full, but DCon is the one time a year that it's like by the end of the day I think I'm maxed. I never feel like that. It's crazy.
And I am not an extrovert, so
yeah, so you're just
experience.
Yeah.
was okay after the first, but that initial shock, because I'd only been to 5 points, and 5 points is very tiny compared to Teton. So yeah, it was, I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah. And I think that like the hard part, I've talked to people about this before, is like, even if you have a list of artists and you like, you're like, I need to get to these five, there's like 1200, like it goes in blocks of 100. And so it's like, yeah, I'm going to get to those five, but I also want to see these 12 and I want to go down this aisle, and it's too much.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot. It was an experience. I enjoyed it. I'm considering going to Vegas because I'm close.
Yeah.
So it's not, I mean, honestly, I could drive it.
Yeah.
I did drive it in the fall. So I may do decon this year just to go, not to table anything.
And bring Tim with you?
No, Tim doesn't go to shows.
I want him to go to decon so bad.
You will not catch him at a show.
I know. I don't need him to table. I just want to hang out for 5 minutes. That's it. So if he's listening, hopefully. But
you'll have to visit the schoolhouse in Colorado.
I know. So with all that, and commissions being open and all that, is the immediate project that you're working on next, the sculpting of the next bears?
I was trying to get the cats finished up.
Cats, okay.
So I could get, because they've been on my desk for months. But my immediate is the space watch for the Retroverse show.
Awesome.
And because then,
that's so soon.
Yes. And then after that, I have nothing right now other than like the rainbow guy I owe Tim, but he leaves my timelines pretty loose. It's whenever I get him to him. So
he's funny. I saw the space watches behind him, and because I had told him like, oh, those are awesome. And he goes, yep, I have commissions done. And then I end up buying my own pieces back.
He does.
That's awesome. Don, it's been so good having you on Toys on Tap. The last part of the episode is always for the artist to plug everything, how commissions work, if you take commissions regularly, where people can find you and talk to you, all those things. So please plug all your stuff.
I have Facebook, I have Instagram, have a TikTok. There's nothing on there. Everything's under Don or Don't Care. Commissions are always open. DM on Instagram or Facebook Messenger is the easiest way. I try to keep toys as affordable as possible when it comes to customs.
Nice.
So, I mean, I think there's a lot of some overpricing out there. So I try to keep, like I said, as affordable as possible for commissions. And if you provide the blank, even more so. I have blanks of just about anything designer toy wise that's current. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's where you can find me.
Heck yeah.